to take his liberty. Why don't you just take a moment here, lift up your hands, your heart, your voice, and let's invite the presence of God into the house right now. Mighty God, we love you and praise you.
Thank you, Lord. We honor you, Jesus. Oh, yes, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Sutton and First Lady, and to you leaders, you couples who have gathered here tonight. I believe on day already, and you've come here to hang out, to talk about marriage and family, significant that you can see the payoff on over the years. Before I ask my wife to come and greet you, let me recognize, not unique to you, it's true about most meetings of this nature. There are some in the room who are, and if you really apply yourself, you'll learn a whole lot. There are others, it's just because you've been around for a while, you've been married, you've figured some things out, and maybe all, and then there's everyone in between. That's always going to be the case. I like to consider myself a lifelong learner. The truth of the matter is, even if you try and take in everything, it's impossible. I'm going to flood you with thoughts and ideas, and we're going to toss, but take in everything. So it's helpful if you will just dedicate yourself to take in one or two things away that makes you a better husband, men, a better wife to other people. So those of you who are mentoring. So there are many, many, many ways to think of this. If my wife and I were attending this, we're 32, our 32nd anniversary coming up just in a couple days. But as we get closer along the way to 40, we might be listening for different reasons at that point. We might be listening to learn how to better help other people that we're working, challenge ourselves. Wherever you are on the spectrum, just find something that you can hold on to as we go through these points. So I hope we can have a little finished greeting you. I'm going to read from the book of Genesis, chapter number 3 and verse number 23, and greet this group. Amen.
Thank you. Praise the Lord, everyone. It's to be here for the reason we're here, and that is to share with you, what is downs, hopefully more ups than downs. It's really important that these kind of events happen. I'm called a first-generation Pentecostal. I wonder if there are any here in this room, parents or grandparents, that have been influencing them to become, to follow the gospel. Are there any first? Thank you. Thank you. Well, now I feel a little bit better because I know that if it wasn't for the grace of God, where we would be. I was raised in a German home. I was born and raised in Germany, and it was a very, at times, violent. And thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for saving me. Even after 30-plus years, it never, you know, being a lifelong learner is not just book knowledge, but it's also just I apply it. So I thank God for this meeting here tonight, and I'm very happy that my husband can name.
And she might share hers too. I was talking to a pastor friend not too long. We're talking about the fact that everyone's an expert in our world today, and how that's quite amazing. As a matter of fact, in his church, who has an online presence with 50,000 followers. Now, what do you know at 14? Everything from this is what I think my first date will look like. And people are, we're in that kind of world now where everyone's an expert, and I'm not exactly sure what I'm an expert in. I'll share with you today that reflects the hours of working with apostolics or the time being married. Hopefully, my wife is here, and that's going to keep the conversation honest, and also maybe she'll chime in occasionally with Book of Genesis, chapter 3, and Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be of man." She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. As we move down through this lesson tonight, it's just to your attention, but if you have a Bible handy or a Bible app handy, please get it. You're going to need it. I lost count, but I've just been in a lot of settings like this, and I think it's talk about ideals that we talk about them in terms of they come from the Bible. They're from the Word of the Lord. That's where we want to get our action and our instruction. So keep your Bible or your Bible app handy. You're going to need it, and I'll tell you why in a few moments. If you're writing this down or just have a great memory, here we go. Questions are important, so ask down, because at some point I'll stop and say, are there any questions? And they'll give you an opportunity to say yes and ask the question. Now, if you ask an embarrassing question about your spouse, that's on you. All right? I suggest you do it, because that's job security. Be careful, right? Don't do that. So ask questions, but two don'ts. Don't ask embarrassing, and don't ask questions that your pastor already answered. I cracked myself up. Be prepared to apply. And so grab something that you can apply. Number three, this night should feel, it's going to feel a little bit like work. So I'm going to ask you to actually engage with me. And I'm going to ask you to engage with your spouse here. I'm looking around, and I see pretty much even numbers. But then take notes, write with your spouse about later. Okay, so that's very important. I believe this is God's work. I believe your marriage is a part of God's. It's important that we invite God here. I think that happened when you showed up. I think that happened when we prayed. But there may be moments during even our time, and I say we let him work. Can someone say amen? Amen. Very, very important. Right? And working on the marriage and working on your marriage doesn't always feel good, right? It doesn't always come to grips with. It's like working on anything else, any other project, except for this one is a lifelong project, and it doesn't always feel good, but if we follow the word of the Lord, Pastor already said this, the byproduct of doing that is, and so the goal is not to feel warm and fuzzy. The goal is that we have great marriages. And then finally, follow up. If you have a calendar or an app that is a calendar, go ahead and set a time for maybe 20 tomorrow. So tonight and tomorrow, give yourself about 24 or 48 hours, and then set a note on your calendar to remember what transpired for you, what you learned, what you heard. That way you can apply it. If you don't remind yourself and you don't apply it, you've got, and it was useful, but it wasn't useful as it could be. And so go ahead and set a timer, give yourself that conversation at home with your spouse and say, hey, this is that one thing I said I was going to do. This is that one thing I said I was going to apply. Walk through the plan for tonight. The plan is this. We're going to explore some practical application of biblical principles around get you talking to each other. Doesn't that sound fun? Like three heads went, yeah. I was somewhere, and I said to this group, we're going to be talking to each other tonight. I'm going to ask you to talk to your spouse, and you could hear like a groan, right? It was them, and they just went, oh. And I'm like, you married her? I mean, talk to her. So, yeah, we're going to talk in a way that's fun. I'm hoping to kind of sneak in some communication tips along the way. So that's within the family. Also, to strengthen those pre-established understandings around purpose specific to your marriage, why together? For this particular point, it doesn't matter if you've been married 50 years. If you've never, then you should ask that question. So for those who have been married more than 20 years, you're like, listen, it still matters. It absolutely matters. It's not over. It's not done. You've got a lot of life left ahead of you, and just because you didn't can't figure it out now, and it's very important. If you don't understand your purpose, there's a very small way to engage with the purpose of your church, which is the ultimate goal. Practice. We want to practice active listening. How many are very thankful? I'm going to talk about active listening because it's important. You know what I mean? All right, good. And then we're going to have a little bit of fun. as we go along. So a couple of scriptures, and I want to just give you, I want to paraphrase it. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18. This is God, and God is in the process of, well, he's already made creatures, and he's asking Adam to name them. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18. And creature, and whatever Adam calls the thing, God says it is. And so Adam is completely in charge to give both these animals. And so that's important. So with the description of the animal, there is also inferred, why was the ant called the ant and not called an elephant? Answer that later. Recall things, to name things. I believe that that ability is in part instilled in parents, address our children. You can call them lazy, and somehow or another that sticks. And it's not just the name, it's everything about beautiful. Somehow or another that sticks, right? And so Adam is naming things, and that gets carried on. And so in verse number 20, all the fowl, the air, and everything. But also in verse number 20, God says that, you know, the Bible says that there was no him. So God in verse 21 causes Adam to fall asleep, and he takes one of his ribs and closes up the flesh, verse 22, off, and he makes a woman. And ultimately, he brings the woman back and introduces the woman. Adam says, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was gen of who she is. And without a conversation, there's a recognition. So there's this oneness and this unity that to have is a oneness and a unity. So let me start by getting you to talk to each other. I have slides here, like 1, 2, 10, 15, 35. I'm going to, I'm so kidding. You should see the dread I just saw, like, no. I've got a few slides here. And so I'm going to give you the title of the slide. The first responsibility falls to the men. Men, when you find, as it relates to marriage and family. I want to give you about 1 minute what comes to mind. Now, you all, you know we love to have fun. So yeah, you can have a little fun with this, but don't be silly with them. And what comes to mind? Ladies, your job is to just be an active listener. An active listener is counter thought or trying to just listening to what is being said. All right, that's going to be a piece of cake. It's going to be so easy. I know it's going to be easy because you do it, interrupt each other. You listen all the time. See, this is going to be, all right. The next slide, I'll give the title and lady what that means. And guess what your husband's going to do? He's going to listen to you carefully. He's going to listen to your words. He's going to use, this is just kind of a minimal encourager. Right? He's going to do that, right? And he's going to lean in and be a, got it? All right, so here we go. The first title, guys, this is on you, right? You've got 1 minute. Where's my watch? A firm foundation. A firm foundation. Remember, it needs to be around marriage and family. But you can,
I got one a bit that's firm.
Okay, right? Just a little deeper than that. All right, guys, you've got 1 minute. A firm foundation. You've got 40 seconds left. You can do it, guys. Come on. A firm foundation. Foundation of the house. Punch him. Just kidding. Don't punch him. 30 seconds. Time's up. All right, let's just test the waters a little bit. Guys, did you feel like you did? I'm not asking it, right? And you did, and you felt like your wife was doing a good job listening. Just kind of nod a little bit. Okay, all right, very good. 3 points, real quick. Number one, Adam and Eve. I want to talk about dating and how we come together. And the opening statement is Adam and Eve, the scene, they were married. So she never knew what it was like to be single. Adam didn't have single, sure how long, but not very long. So Adam and Eve never really were single. Number two model in the Bible that I have found that we can follow. So if you date it, question, how did you go about that? And where did that process come from? So nothing in the Bible. As a matter of fact, the word not appear in the Bible. As a matter of fact, there's almost nothing said about dating or courtship in the Bible. There's a lot that can be inferred. Very, very, very little that you can look at and say that's a model. Now you can see some things that are probably. Number three, then, almost everything we know about dating has been developed over time from extra-biblical. If you pick up a book and it says, you know, dating 101, you got to know that unless a person's trying to make application, that's not coming from the Bible. That's coming from somewhere else. So there are good books that will help you, but the Bible doesn't help talk much about that. And so we have to be very serious. A lot of our dating ends up looking like a secular model of dating. I will, just for kicks. What would it look like if it was purely Christian, purely biblical? It might look something like, I'll go find their husband, I'll put them through all the tests, and then I'll marry them. Somebody said amen. No, I'm just kidding. I'll tell you right now, what we have right now is very interesting, and it comes from secular sources with secular mindsets that will not lead to. It's important because marriage is forever, and when people come together and they start courting or dating, that's going somewhere. It's not leveled when it comes from secular sources, and it's hard to see that. I'll give you some examples and that can come to your mind very quickly. For instance, how much effort we put into our appearance to be attractive to the other. I'm not trying to say you should let yourself go and smell bad. But I'm telling you that our world puts that up front. What about the Bible? What does the Word of God say about that? All right, slide number two. Ladies, it's your turn. Your house isn't here. Take notes. Write it down. Guys, you have one task. Just kind of look interested and not. I mean, listen, be there, right? Be there, because they're going to hold you accountable for it. The title is Marriage is Forever. You have 1 minute. All right, ladies, how did you do? Good? Right? Ladies, how did he do? All right, quick question. How similar is this communication style to the one you use? All right, this is why. This is why we're practicing it. Is it work? All right, let me spend some time on this slide. There are different numbers throughout our world that just many, many years ago, the number that people threw around was 50% of marriages end in divorce. That number was high. Most people now would say that number is somewhere in the 40s is too big. Look around the room and imagine if this room had a apply that to a country, and that's too big, right? That number is huge. However, that number being really big does not slow people down or rushing into marriage. I'm talking about this to married people when really, if you're listening, you're like, wait, shouldn't like the daters be? I'm talking about this to married people because I started with, think about how we come together. How do we start? And then think about how we move through that process, right? And so if pragmatics is leading the charge, we'll continue leading. And is that helpful? Let me give you a quick model of what it might look like if people were dating. This model, if I were to draw it out, would look like a triangle where the tip of the triangle, anybody know what that's called? It's called the tip. The tip of the triangle just probably is an apex, rather, right? The tip of that, it would be at the top, and then the bottom of the triangle, that long, what is that? The base of the, all the math base, it would be the, so the boy and the girl would start on either side of that, and as they come closer to each other, they come closer. The first 6 months would be that time of getting to know each other, getting to know each other socially, out the person, and getting to know the person emotionally. So that's kind of what's happening in those first 6 months. Many times that meeting with other couples, they'd be in social settings, they're getting to know each other, right? Obviously for apostolics, we wouldn't encourage them to date anyone that potential mate, so, right? And so 6 months or so. The next 6 months, they're going, this worked out. How do we know it worked out? Boundaries of our dating, I'll use that phrase right now, for our dating for 6 months, and we both did really well with those boundaries. What is imagine being on that first date and someone overshares, right? Any oversharers in the room? Don't raise your hand. No. About it, right? And then we'll be here all night, right? I mean, obviously, no one's going to, that first date, you don't get the whole story. Why? Because most people think it's appropriate to kind of start slow. And so that's what's happened in that 6 months. Now, and you're not feeling good being around each other, that's a sign that that should probably end now. Go, we can fix this. And so they move to that next phase, and because of how our world is, if you date for a while, people are going to be like, engage, right? And so there's kind of a push that direction. Well, let's say they decide to get engaged because everything was just really, and at that point, they're starting to share more of their emotional intimacy. They're starting to share maybe spiritual intimacy. Spiritual intimacy is just standing. That's deeper than maybe you would have for a friend or someone else. So it's a deeper understanding, and they're like, this is wonderful. So set some boundaries on themselves and how they want to be treated by one, the way I want to be treated. I treat her the way she wants to be treated. And we do really well on these boundaries. And so this is good. And relationships you have to hide are problematic, right? And so it's public. And so it's being blessed by everyone is saying this. Prior to doing that, if they attend that fresh anointing, prior to doing that, they should get marital counseling. Prior, when they say, Pastor, I want to get, there's a few things we got to talk about. Because if you don't stop them, they'll have sent off the invitation. I mean, my life, her family's life, and they're trying to work out the logistics, so they've already set the date. Find big problems, you know, they'll say, well, we can fix that on the other side. Plus, we've already sent out the invites. I wish I hadn't heard this like 10 or 15 times this year. No, it's not. I usually hear from people who are already married. We were rushing through it because we didn't want to disappoint those 200 people. And so we mortgaged and we went ahead and we got married, right? And so the last 6 months is all the planning, which in our church, and again, you do it differently here. I know that because I feel to elope. No, it's true. It's true. They don't know how high I would cost for you to elope. And they're like, what do you mean? We've never thought about it. So I bring it closer to home. I'm like, how much do I have to pay you to elope? I'm like, have you met your mother? You know, I'm not trying to deal with the end. I'm not really. Oh, see, you guys have no mercy. But every all the family members and all that stuff. I'm like, no. Go to a beach and do this. Just elope. And I tried to pay one person. She just wasn't doing it. I'm not teasing, but I should be. I'm not, right? All right. But there was one I did bribe. I went up to $1,800 and couldn't get her to elope, so we did the wedding. So now we got 6 months of kind of getting to know each other, and that worked well. And 6 months of like, okay, let's take this a little bit more seriously. It's going to take 6 months of planning because weddings are a mess to plan. If you've got a great wedding planner at the church, God bless you. You're so blessed. 18 months. And when I talk to single people who are about it, and they're going, is there a way to microwave that? And I'm like, can you microwave your marriage? Slow. It's too long. And no one wants to wait to invest 18 months, 60 years or so. But 18 months to build a foundation isn't awful if you're building a really room. There are probably very successful marriages that you didn't even have 8 months. And it worked 10. And it worked out. It's not what I would advise in terms of if you're just moving through pragmatic, because so goes the home, so goes the church. Then that's going to be problematic. In our world, pragmatics leads the way. So you pick up those books, spiritual, and how many want to be both? Amen. We need, and if you can't be but one, be spiritual. All right, so that's important. Is forever, and all of this will make will connect as we move on with what else that undermine God and the family, in our world. There are more than two, but there are two I want to point out, because number one would be the institution of higher education. Now, I am a product of public school education to some degree. I work in higher education, and we pay our bills because of higher education. I serve God. And so it's okay for me to call out higher education. Higher education, because it's going to, and the higher you go, the more this is true, because it's looking for things that are very empirical and measurable. So things like faith in a covenant at all are all going to be undermined in that setting. That's important because more and more of us are going to college, and we're being inundated with messages that will undermine the family, and that's where it's coming. Not only will it redefine what family looks like, but it'll undermine the tenets that make for strong apostolic family. Avoid higher education. This is encouraging you to put God above that and everything else and the Word of God. So we pull our ideals about marriage and family, psych professors or our sociology professors or anyone else like that. Amen. Second institution would be what I would call secularized unions that put romance at the very beginning of relationships. And no one that I know of is going to marry someone they're not attracted to. So clearly God has called us for a great purpose. And at some point, you got to figure out, and you all here have paying the price for not doing it, or you're already over that hump, right? So at some point, we've got to understand that there's purpose here. And that, like he built Adam, or he made Adam, and he made Eve, and how he put them together, and he didn't put them together to Eve, because God designed her for him. I would imagine that Eve was very attractive to Adam because there. All right, we all agree with that, so we're going to push that. Adam was gorgeous. Eve was gorgeous. Great. Now, put him on a magazine. On that, there was nothing about how they looked that had anything to do with God's plan for their purpose. Our world puts how you live. There is an article, I typically would include it, and if we were looking at the projection, the link basically gives you the secularized idea of romance, and the article is called something like How to Seduce. That's the secular side. That's the secular side. Can I be really, really, really honest with you? Yeah, that by going to some of our conventions. But I'm telling you, if I were talking to single people, I'd say you better find the one who hangs out at the altar. And for the married people in here, if you didn't, You're paying the price for that. Find that one who's snotting out at where the power is. And if he's at the altar giving it his all, and he's also cute, go ahead and marry him. All right, let me do two more. Hopefully we set the stage for, is it guys your turn? All right, the title of this slide is, It's Steaming Hot in Here. I'm kidding. The title is Calling and Purpose. All right. Sorry, brothers. You've got 1 minute. Okay, ladies, you're being great listeners. Oh, look at the listeners. I see ladies. Seconds. And good. Good. You're practicing. Thank you for talking to each other. Calling and purpose. This slide is very quick, guys, and then we'll wrap up. There are some foundational ideas and concepts from those foundations, and see great, strong marriages in our apostolic movement is going back and thinking about when you were single. How many in this room prayed for a spouse? God direct me. God send the right person. How many did that in this room? Okay. How many wish? Most people did that. If you're blessed to have godly parents, they were maybe doing that for you. Tours were helping you along that journey, and you were trusting God, right? Trusting God. God, send the right person to me, and then you stop bathing teeth. Nobody, right? Right. No. Amazing. It's amazing. You prayed that prayer, and then you kept yourself available. Even though you had faith in God to send you the right person, you kept working. You got them. You're there. You arrived. Does it make sense that we have to keep working? I want to conversation and have these conversations at your table. Stay. But what were you praying about when you were praying, God, send me that person? What was that conversation between you were asking God for Mr. Wright? I'm doing this because you prayed for him. I'm doing this because you prayed for her. What was that prayer about? What was that prayer about? Take just 1 minute. So couples, this gives you about the whole conversation. You only have like 30 seconds each. What was that prayer about when you prayed to God? What was that prayer about? Seconds. All right, now turn this into a table conversation. As much of that as you can share with the people at your table, let's have that conversation. Thing that you were really asking God, God, you know, here I am. Send me somebody that loves missions. At your table, you've got 1 minute. Right. 20 seconds. Up that conversation. All right, I've numbered you off in tables. There are 14 tables in this room, and I love that table back there because something good is going on. All right, we're going to call this table 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let me do it again. Table 1, 2, 8, 9, 10, 11. 12, 13, 13. That's not fair to put you on the spot like that, okay? Was that nice of me? Amen. For a price, I will join you together. he's like, I'll pay it. Look at someone and say, have faith. Yeah. All right, so unless you already had somebody in mind, you were praying blindly, God, here's my prayer. Now you're here. So that same God that you prayed is going to require you to stand and have faith many more times. And you've already done it when you were by yourself. Now you have someone to do it with. I want to hear from the tables. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but just kind of somebody just summarize. Like, whether the comment at the table, was there a theme, or maybe somebody wants to actually take 30 seconds and tell their story. Either of that. And you're table number one. Table two, you're coming, right? Look at them. They're already appointing spokespeople. You guys are too smart. Right. 30 seconds, and I'm moving to another table, so it's got to be fast. Table, they're still representing. All right. Everybody got somebody you've been voluntold? Ready? All right, table number one is ready. Here we go. Table number one. I think we're going to need that. Can you record the themes for me? Because I'll go with the mic. All right.
Well, we are here for someone who would be a best friend, because a lot of my best friends I've had like my whole life. And so to maintain a best friend relationship, someone who would be able to set a good example for like my children and just like other people coming up in the church.
All right. I kind of fall in the category of having somebody in mind, but what I saw about her in faithfulness to the house of God and being... She really stood out, you know, was loving God more than knew that was the one.
Yes. So when I was praying, was a little bit different than me, that had discipline, that had structure, that I needed in a husband and a leader. And I found him, and I found someone that is faithful to God. So I knew.
Who's the spokesperson here? You are? You're not?
Who is?
All right, no problem, no problem. No, don't want to embarrass you. There is no shame in that.
But you guys can't pass. Who's the spokesperson? If you change your mind, I'll come back.
I wasn't raised in church. Always wanted a big family, even as a child. And I go back and I look at where God brought us from and got the Holy Ghost. We were 19 and moved to Birmingham after we were married after the church. When we came to Birmingham, my wife, Sister Robin, brought them, those children, the ladies' prayer and every little activity they had around the church and me. And I thank God every day to have a wife that wakes up at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning and intercedes for beating my wife. But
take 10 more seconds.
And I thank God every day that He's given me a wife that loves God and loves our family.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Aww. Right, spokesperson? Oops. Okay.
The testimonies here, it seems like nobody really specifically prayed for the spouse. Is that what Corey did when I was pretty much a new convert? And what I was praying about, not praying for being married to a preacher or pastor, but I was praying that God would send me a man who would love me, who would love God with all of his heart. And he answered that prayer.
In terms of I'm sorry. I can't help it. I'm a preacher. In terms of the summary of what we talked about, it really fell back to looking for God intended for us to build in our lives, looking to role models for a person that didn't reflect her biological dad. And Asiri talked about a person who did reflect her dad because of it. And so following that template and being able to walk in the fullness of what God has called you to.
Thank you.
They won't let me talk.
Oh,
this is Molly.
Okay, are you the spokesperson?
Well, I do remember praying that God would give me wisdom and send me a husband that loved him and served him and be a good leader for our family, a good in the church someday, and he did send me that.
Oh.
I prayed for someone who... a woman who would be a good mother to my kids, to grow with, who I could build a life with, you know, not, this is going to sound bad, a liability, but an asset, you know. someone who wasn't focused on, like, the superficial things and just kind of meandering through life, and we can have deep understanding, you know.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. All right, beautiful. Spokesperson. Nobody? Pass. If you change your mind, I'll come back. You want to be? Oh.
I think the theme for our table is just praying God's will. I remember literally wrote a list of what I wanted in a husband, and she had said how it, you know, it worked for my sister. She got a tall, blue-eyed man, you know. And I did pray for blue eyes, but that's about as far as I got because I was so scared. I didn't want to pray things that, as a, you know, a kid, I wanted. But very specifically just being like, I don't know what you want from me, but just whatever it is, bring it, you know, and give it. And God.
Whoa.
Wow.
Did I skip you guys? All right, here.
In summary, there were some prayers for specific things, attractive to them, smart, but I think overall it was a person who did with God, and they didn't ever feel like there was any doubt in that, and they feel like everybody feel like they got who they asked for.
Let me pause, and we got a couple of tables left. Sometimes you may get, I know people say you shouldn't marry. Some of your spouses aren't fully developed yet. As a matter of fact, there's a good chance that most people in this room are still blooming. But don't get stuck here, because it's still growing. All right, spokesperson.
So my story starts, I was previously married before we were married, my previous marriage. And one of the major things that I asked for was to have a wife that exemplified, because as a boy grows up and gets married later in life, he tends to marry or date somebody that would be a mother, not my ex-wife.
That's good. Yeah. There's a little bit of liability about giving out the mic. But I understood what you meant. Who's the spokesperson?
Okay. Well, I didn't grow up in church either, like you, Sister Blash. So, like my wife has said, I didn't see any good marriages around, so I didn't pray for any spouse. But for someone that would love God and that would be faithful to God and be faithful to her and be a good father and be active and and I'll say through her prayers turned me into those things, and I would have prayed for a woman like her, a prayer warrior, a woman of God, someone that is faithful, someone that is an excellent mother. Sick, she's up nursing, she's cooking us healthy food to try to make sure we don't get sick very often. It's that sense enough to pray. I would have prayed for her.
You're smooth. For the most part. There are 14 tables here, and I know that you didn't share all your stories, and some gave individual stories, but I think it's safe to assume that to some degree we heard our story. Pray, have faith, trust God. The only thing I want to convince you of tonight is it worked. It really worked, and it got you this far. The next slide, and we'll hard times. Anybody ever had to face some of those? Yeah. And it still works. And I want you to not necessarily have faith in your spouse. That should be a given. But I want you to supersede that God, the same God you prayed to when you were single, having faith in that God right now. Would you lift your voice with me, Father? And we've proven that by praying. God, some of us prayed early, some of us prayed late, some of us pray. But now we're different. We're grown up, Lord, and there are some men in this room, God, that now know how to pray. There's some same God that answered that first prayer. That same God is able to step into our marriages today and make them. God, I'm not praying for my spouse right now. I'm not having faith in that person. That's a given. I'm having faith in you, Lord, the same God I prayed to. Lord, that did me, and together, God, we can join together as one and lift our faith to you.
you, God, and trust you to feed God, or to heal our bodies, to trust you, God, in the hard things of life, God, to trust you, God, in our finances, to trust you in our faithfulness, to trust you through the difficult times, God, and Lord, and the challenges, when the pressures of life, we trust you, and I have faith, oh God, that you are so consistent. Lord, you're always there to help your people. We have faith that you will. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And someone said, hey, another man, look him in the eye and just tell him to have faith. Ladies, do the same with the lady. Ladies, tell a lady, have faith. Amen. God bless you. I'm looking forward to tomorrow, and thank you for working with me. We'll dive in at it again.